This podcast is a part of the Blueberry Network. You can find this and other great podcasts at blueberry.com. That's blueberry with no E's .com.
Theater Geeks is a production of the Dufour Creative Network.
Our first topic is improv.
Improv, okay.
All right, we're talking about improv.
He was started and then you spoke and yes. Now he has to do it again.
So tough. All right, thank you. Shh. Hi, I'm Dave Dufour.
I'm John Schaup.
I'm Marcia Fulmer, and we are Theater Geeks.
Hi, welcome to Theater Geeks, the podcast about community theater and the performing arts. We have a guest with us today, by the way, is Jessica Hardy, who is, you do a number of things. We're going to talk to you in a separate episode about the Chicago Comedy Film Festival, but we wanted to focus this time a little bit on improv, because you do some improv classes, improv teaching, and do you still work with youth as well? Or what are you doing with improv right now, other than improvising this show?
Oh, wow. Thank you for having me. Okay. I have been working with improv for the last 10 years. I went through the Second City, and as I mentioned before, I worked with the Second City Youth Program. Mm-hmm. And I was the head teaching assistant for that program for 3 years, I believe. Mm-hmm. And then, kept going with my own improv troops, did lots of different improv sketch shows in Chicago, and then got into film and now have produced a couple feature films and whatnot. So I haven't performed improv in Chicago for a while. I've just been doing a lot of film, but I started to teach comedy improv classes in North Webster, Indiana, this past summer, and I'm still teaching improv classes there to adults and youth. And I'm now helping them build more improv classes there. And I've taught an improv class here at the Elkhart Civic Theater in town. And so I hope that answers that question.
My question is, how does somebody learn how to improv? It's the way I feel at the jazz festival when somebody says, oh, Jim Pickley, he teaches improvisation. Well, isn't the very basis of improvisation that it's just off the cuff, kind of? So how do you teach it?
Well, improv can be taught as far as offering specific exercises to help bring that innate playfulness that we all have already. And the idea behind improv is that it really is based off of children's games, and that we know what it is because when we were children, we used to play pretend and we would make up things. We didn't have, well, at least I remember not having a lot of elaborate toys. So we played with our friends and we made up things and we created a whole world around us. And that is what improv is. But as we grow into adults, we lose that playfulness. And so improv classes can bring you back to that place and help you access that very core that we all have, which is to be playful and to be in the moment and listen to each other and all of that. So, does it take in a sort of innate talent? Sure. I mean, there's better improvisers out there. That's why they are professionals. But improv isn't just about being funny. It's about learning how to listen to yourself and have good instincts and work with others and be more open to...
It requires a lot of focus.
Yeah, it helps to do concentration
be
building.
Good at it, yeah.
So.
And do you... Is it... I would think that it's not just good for actors to have those skills as well. Do you work with people who aren't actors?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, especially some of the classes I have taught in North Webster, because some of those people have never stepped foot on a stage and they were terrified, but they found it to be so exciting and they wanted to try it. And I've had some of my students have told me that it's changed their lives, and I don't take credit for that. Improv does that to people. It can open you up and make you more emotionally accessible, and it can improve the way that you interact with people in general in your life. So yes, I do work with non-actors. I think improv is great for anyone.
Our last improv session that we had here at the theater, we had a couple of sisters who took the class just on a whim, and they had so much fun, and were surprised, I think, at how well they were able to open up and just kind of relax around people they didn't even know.
Yeah.
The exercises that we did that day really did help them, I think, to do that, to the point where they're willing to maybe even drive to North Webster to take a class with you.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, we had a lot of fun. That was a great workshop.
Yeah.
Well, one of the first steps is trust, and trusting others, but trusting yourself too, and not being, giving yourself permission to kind of step over a few lines. Am I off on track on that?
Yeah. I mean, in the beginning of a typical workshop or class, I do really basic, silly exercises because we have a tendency when we're given an exercise to just kind of say no a lot, and we don't want to be open. So I try to start off with, I really need you to just go there and try to not be afraid to be silly. And if you give people permission, then they start trusting each other without even knowing each other. It's like, okay, we've been given permission, so we can be silly, and it's not right. a big deal. So, yeah.
Yeah, and I used to do workshops on creativity and brainstorming and that kind of stuff, and I used theater exercises as a way to get people to the point where they weren't afraid to look stupid anymore, and so that they were able to do it.
But we're taught
to
say.
The same thing. Right.
We're taught to say no. I mean, we're educated to say no, and it's really hard sometimes to let your brain go, yes, I'll go with that.
Yeah. And it, in business, in running the festival, I think it's helped me because so many times we work with a group of people and someone offers an idea and the next person goes, oh, no, we can't do that. That's always the response. Oh, but we can't do that. And I'm personally, I'm so much more open to saying, yeah, we can find a way to do that. It may not be the original idea, but we can find a way to make this work.
Right.
So,
or work one idea into another one somehow, or use it as the basis for something else. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I have to ask you, how did you decide you wanted to focus on improv rather than just straight learn the script and get on the stage kind of thing?
Well, we talked about this recently because I used to perform here at Elkhart Civic. And
we drove you into improv, right?
And I got so sick of working with John Shout.
Oh,
hi. Well. I can be a jerk, I admit it.
No, actually, John and I attended a class at what was the Elko, and the Second City came. Their touring company came and did a workshop.
Right.
Oh, I remember that.
And I went there and fell in love with it. So, and then
She was a natural, which is, I have known Jessica as an actress, but had never seen her improv or anything like that. And she stood up there and held her own with those people from Chicago. It was kind of fun to watch, you know.
So, yeah.
I'm a watcher. So
you're also a doer, John. We know that. You can't hide.
But that was cool. And yeah. So.
Yeah. So that's, I knew that I wanted to do that. So I just, I did move to Chicago right shortly after that. I left and moved there and then got into it and loved it. But I also write. So I've been back to writing more recently, but improv certainly has informed a lot of my writing. And
I wonder, do you use that same skill then in your writing as well?
We do in filmmaking. Mm-hmm. We work with a lot of improvisers who can act, and then we give them sort of a basic script, and then we ask them to play with it. And we have created some really cool stuff being able to use improv. So,
okay.
So in film, do you actually improv scenes and then write them down, or do you have an idea? I mean, how much is improv, pure improv, and how much of it starts with an outline? And
well, both of the features that we've done, it's an entire outline. We've written it not just as an outline, but each scene has detailed action, and we know exactly what we want the motivation to be, and we know what the characters want and need out of each other. Mm-hmm. And then we just talk to the actors in rehearsal and say, this is the whole idea, and this is where we want it to go. And then they improvise it, and then we kind of say, okay, we like this, we don't like this, let's try this again. And then we kind of narrow it down so that it's not completely rehearsed and ready for the film shoot, but at least when we get to the film shoot, we're okay with them still playing with it, but they know what that
they know which direction it's going.
Is. Yeah. So
how would you in a play where you know everything is scripted, How do you incorporate improv, and how would you how would a community theater incorporate improv into the rehearsal process of a play that where you really don't change the lines or anything?
Well, that's a good question. You're really challenging me on that one. I would say that just asking them to be a little bit more, asking the actors to be a little bit more spontaneous with what they want and need out of each line in a scene, and sort of playing with that. Because in improv, you're often giving the improvisers different wants and needs before they enter a scene, and then that informs the direction that it's going. And I think the same thing can be said for scripted work, that we often get in the mode of, I know exactly where I'm going, I know exactly how I feel, and playing with that a little bit and being spontaneous with it just to see what pops out of it. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you can't change the words in scripted works, but I think that that could help sort of razzle things up. But also, I've talked about this before, is in theater, we're so nervous about someone dropping a line, or they don't go for the prop the way they did before, or they don't walk the same exact stage direction that we thought they were going to, because they're just not thinking. And being prepared for those things and being okay with it and being able to sort of take it as like a gift, mm-hmm. rather than a mistake, and look at it like being comfortable playing with it even a little bit, you know. And those things I remember happening pre my improv experience, and it throwing me off.
Yeah.
So.
Well, it removes that element of panic, at least to some degree.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that you don't have to, you know, well, so that you aren't thrown off by the fact that, okay, we've got to fix this somehow, and you have ways of dealing with that, maybe.
Yeah. I mean, with improv, when you really get into it and you've studied it for a while, you have this group mind. So the idea of using improv to build the group mind of the cast to the point where you almost can manage those mistakes, or what I would call gifts, to the point where it becomes like you know each other so well that it's like, okay, I'm going to do this with it then. And it becomes more organic rather than, I'm going to think of something to make this not look like a mistake.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I like that. I like it. I like it being called a gift.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Thank you for your gift.
In doing that, sometimes can you get so far off the track of where the scene is going that it just is... winds up kind of nowhere.
Well, I remember doing a show where someone completely dropped a line, and then the other person just stood there in complete silence because they just did not know where to go with it. You'd almost rather that it kind of go way off track and the audience not know that it went off track, rather than complete silence for what felt like an eternity.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do that.
But you have.
Actually, that did happen, I think, in a show that I directed not too long ago. Just, you know, as a director, you always notice it first. Yeah. But that's...
You know, one of the things in community theater, we come from different walks of life and from different daytime experiences to join together at night for this group thing that we do called community theater. How do you feel about possibly using improv exercises before a rehearsal starts in the evening, like to join people together?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of value to that, because we come in from, we all have these voices in our heads, and they're voices of what went wrong in the day, or what I should be doing, and what you're thinking about instead of being here. You're thinking about a fight you had with someone. You're thinking about a deadline that you missed. And using improv to sort of get rid of the voices and force everyone to sort of be together and concentrate before you start that rehearsal process. For sure, yeah.
And then do you think that helps to build that group mentality, so that as you get into the show, you are then... more working as a one instead of as individuals?
Yeah, I think so, because I think if you made that the beginning of a rehearsal process, then you could kind of expect that the group would want that more, and they'd crave that, so that when they got here, maybe even without the director telling them to, they would start getting into that group mind. So certainly that would be helpful.
Cool.
Why is everyone looking at me?
Because
I asked a question.
It's your turn.
No, it's not my turn.
If a community theater wants to start internally an improv group, I mean, as kind of a side thing or a black box sort of activity, what's the first step to organizing something like that? I mean, do you have any thoughts on that? You just sort of find who's interested and start? Or, I mean,
I guess.
Well, does age matter? I mean,
does it
where you work with young kids, mm-hmm, and then middle age and then possibly older people.
I had opened my improv class in North Webster to ages 14 and up. And not that that was a mistake, because there's a girl in my class who's really, she's really great. She's been able to sort of rise to the adult level. But in general, I would probably break it into like 15 to 18 and then, 19 and then older, because, you know, just subject matter that comes into play. And,
it's just
you get into more adult topics when there's adults, and when there's kids, they're going to also probably, you can make rules maybe and say like these things are off limits, like, you know. So, yeah. I would say if you were going to start a group, then you should probably leave the teens to the teens and the adults to the adults. But I would say get a group together, and, you know, you might want to find someone that could at least coach it for a while. Mm-hmm. If there's no experience at all, maybe there is. And then typically what I've seen done is you can come together, you know, once a week and then make that a nightly thing, and then depending on whether you're doing it for performance or not, that's a whole other ball of wax. Yeah. But
do you start with like specific reference works or anything like that, or the books, materials that get you started?
I do have some books at home. I don't bring them to class because I just find so weird. But Viola Spolin was the one that started improv in the 50s. Well, the children's games, and then her son went on. I use some of her works to kind of reference. And then there's a book called Something Wonderful Right Away by Jeffrey Sweet, which, mm-hmm, I'm sure you guys know who Jeffrey Sweet is, because he's done some playwriting in Indiana.
Okay.
And he's connected with the Second City Network, though I think he's in New York now. Anyway, and then Jimmy Corrane, who runs improv workshops in Chicago, but has worked for years and years in the Chicago improv communities on television writing. He has a book called, forget the name of it. Improvising Slowly, he's got a couple of books, and they're thin. They're really thin, but they're the most valuable books ever.
Okay.
I'll have to email you the title.
If somebody wants to get in touch with you to talk about having a workshop or having you teach, how do they do that?
They can reach me at jessica@chicagocomedyfilmfestival.com.
Okay. chicagocomedyfilmfestival.com. I'm writing it down.
Which we're going to talk about in another episode.
Yes, we are.
Yeah.
It's not a long email address at all.
That's not hard at all. No. I shouldn't.
It's long, but it's easy to remember.
That's right. But you could probably hear my pen going there on the
Do you think there's a time, Jessica, that maybe, or an age, I should say, that's too young for improv? I mean, you said that kids are already playing, but when do you think that wall goes up that they may need improv to start playing again?
I think that, first of all, to answer the first part, they teach improv in Chicago all the way from ages 5 and up. I don't think they go below that. And then I think that we're always getting signals to say no.
Yeah.
We're always being taught to say no. I think that wall starts going up quite young, to be honest, but I think we, especially after high school, we get into the real world, and the real world hits, and then our walls go up and we protect ourselves, and that's when it really, I think, can be useful. But improv is always good for everybody.
Okay. Well, with a profound ending like that, it's time to wrap up this episode of Theater Geeks. Remember, you can listen to Theater Geeks at theatergeeks.com. You can listen to us on iTunes, the Zune Marketplace, also Stitcher Smart Radio, which I think they just renamed. It's called Stitcher Radio, Radio on Demand. It's still it's the same thing on your iPhone or Android device. Many thanks to Jessica Hardy for joining us today.
I'm Dave Dufour.
I'm John Chow.
And I'm Marcia Fulmer. Not improvising at all. That is my name. We are Theater Geeks.
Music for Theater Geeks was provided by MusicAlley.com.